Showtime Synergy.
Hi, this is Christy Marks, the writer of Gem and the Holograms and Beast Wars, and you're listening to GeekCast Radio Network.
I am the worst podcaster in the world, ladies and gentlemen.
I agree.
Shut up! Nobody asked you. Welcome to the Tooncast Beyond interview of Christy Marks. This is the update interview with Gem, the truly outrageous complete series, getting released this coming Tuesday. This is the update interview where Christy will be talking to us about the DVD, the resurgence. She recently went to a Gem Con over there in Holland. With me is Michael Wilson. I am the fucking goofy one, Mike, I guess.
Okay. I'm Michael. Hey, yes. How's it going?
Yes.
As the crowd responds, hi, Michael.
So, yes. Anything we want to say before we get to this interview?
No.
Okay, then.
Okay, then.
Yes. So, without any further ado, here is our interview with Christy Marks. Hello and welcome to the first interview on the Tooncast Beyond feed. Tooncast Beyond is the continuation of Tooncast Classic. I am one of your hosts, TFG and Mike, and joining me is Pecan Court Michael. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going, and yes, Christy Marks, the creator, head writer of Gem and the Holograms, is our first Tooncast Beyond interview. Hello, Christy, how are you?
First!
Yes.
I get to call first.
You have no idea how many YouTube people do that. Oh, God.
Well, why should I be any different? You know?
Exactly. So we are here today to talk about several things. We're going to hit, the legacy of Gem coming out on DVD. You recently just went to a Gem Con over in Amsterdam. And we'll talk about some other stuff as well. So why don't you fill the listeners in on what you have been up to, what projects you've got coming up, or anything that you might be able to reveal to us?
There's probably not a whole lot I can talk about. I'm working at Zynga, which is the large game company that makes games for Facebook, such as Farmville and Frontierville and Cityville and Mafia Wars. And I'm working on a new game project for them. Therefore, unfortunately, I can't talk about it. But I am learning all about making Facebook games, which is a fascinating new area of game design. Very interesting for me. I have something else in the wings, but unfortunately, I haven't signed a contract on it yet, and I can't talk about it. But it will also be quite exciting. It is not Gem-related. I will put that rumor to rest right now.
Oh, so it's not that Gem movie we've been waiting 25 years for.
Not yet.
Can you hint at it? Is it a video game? Is it a TV show? Is
since
it a cartoon?
I haven't actually formalized anything, I'd rather not.
Ah, okay.
It's a secret project. But it's something really cool.
Awesome. All right, so what are your feelings? How are you feeling about the resurgence of Gem and the fact that it was announced a few months ago that it was going to be appearing on Hasbro's Hub Network? We're getting the DVD release of the complete series. Finally, we're getting all three seasons. What are your thoughts on just the resurgence of the fandom and stuff?
I'm amazed, actually, that it continues to be as strong as it is. It's gratifying. It's surprising. It's fascinating. Just from a purely cultural point of view, the impact that Gem has had and where it keeps popping up in the culture, and how frequently I encounter people who remember Gem and really react to remembering Gem and so forth. And so it's just tremendously gratifying.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, you know, the DVD set is amazing. I got my copy a couple weeks ago. I know they sent you a copy, and I remember watching it as a kid, but I remember watching it like behind Mask or behind another boys franchise. I don't know. I have a weird memory sometimes when it comes to my childhood. But I didn't really remember, besides like the first story of, you know, how Jerrica gets her powers, or not her powers, her synergy and all this and all that. I didn't remember any of the story other than the beginning. And I've been going through and watching the set, and it's just, the show's amazing. It just is.
Well, I think for one thing, when we talk about the DVD release, I would like to really give props to Brian Ward, who was the person at Shout Factory who really shepherded that project and just was absolutely devoted to making that an excellent DVD release and putting as much into it as he possibly could. He really went above and beyond the call of duty, I think, on that DVD to make it the best and most special thing that he could. So, yeah. So good for him. And he was great to work with, obviously.
On the DVD set, there is what they call the video jukebox, and it's pretty much, I think it's almost every song that was ever in the series. And it's spread over all 11 discs of the DVD. I'm wondering, can Shout Factory turn that into a CD version and make gem albums? Or digital versions and make gem albums for audio, because that would be a cool thing for Shout Factory to do.
Well, I know it's something that the fans would love to have. It's a whole different issue, I think, when you're talking about putting out just a music CD, and and of course there are costs involved in doing that, because the people who created the music are protected by BMI, right. BMI or ASCAP, you know, so that they get the residuals or royalties or however that works, unlike, unfortunately, writers or voice actors or other people on the series.
Wow. So tell us a little bit about the bonus features that you recorded.
Well, I did about a one-hour interview that's on there. So I didn't do commentary on any particular episodes, but they sat me down and we did a video interview that's on there. That's for my part. And then I know they interviewed other people. I mean, I can't tell you everything that's on there myself, but they've been Britta and Samantha both, I believe, and
Samantha Newark, yep.
Yeah, and then I know they even went to the fans. I mean, it was very, very nice of them and very smart of them, I think, to go and get fan involvement on the project as well.
Now, would you have wanted to do commentaries on any of it?
It would have been okay, but I already did do commentaries on the previous DVD sets, so I don't know that I could have added much of anything new.
Oh, okay.
Mind you, the other DVD sets are hard to come by now, but
well, they're hard to come by, plus they're like, you know, $50, $60, $70, $80, $100.
Yeah.
Damn you, Rhino. Anyway.
Blame Rhino.
Hey, it's the truth. Don't lie. I mean, I can sit there and look at eBay, and I'll look at Transformers and G.I. Joe and Beast Wars, and all those Rhino DVD sets will be anywhere from $30 to $500.
Yeah.
Scarcity.
Mm-hmm.
That's too bad.
But yeah, so I suppose I would have just said the same things over again.
Yeah.
But then again, maybe it'd be more accessible, so who knows?
Tell us about your trip to Amsterdam.
The Gem Con that took place, it actually was in Rotterdam, which is about I don't know what the exact number of kilometers are apart, but it's maybe a 25-30 minute drive between the two cities. Holland overall not being, you know, terribly huge, of course, so things do tend to be relatively close together. But the international airport is in Amsterdam, and then there's another more European-oriented airport in Rotterdam. So I arrived a day ahead of time, and the guys that organized it, they were cousins, Stefan and Rob Spearings, and they did an absolutely amazing job of organizing this con. These two guys were just fantastic, and they had help from their long-suffering, very patient, and wonderful partners, and just organized this thing. You know, every second was just perfectly organized. They were so good. So they picked me up at Amsterdam Airport along with some other fans that had arrived from the United States. And they had shuttles and picked us up and shuttled us to the hotel and looked after us and took care of us. And these guys were, I just can't praise them enough. These guys were absolutely wonderful. And we had an entire day of just touring places within Holland, and we went to a place called, let's see if I can remember the name of it now, because the name of it always eludes me, but Mandura Dam, I think is what it's called. And it, basically what it is, it's a huge kind of it's a theme park that was built, and it opened in 1952, I believe. And it's scale size, about 1/25 scale size replicas of all of the famous buildings and landmarks in Holland. And so you just walk around on paths around this absolutely amazing theme park, and you see all of these churches and community buildings and the entire port of Rotterdam and canals all over the place and little and windmills and, you know, just – and they're amazing. They're these beautiful recreations. It's just an absolutely amazing place. So we did a tour of that, and then they took us for a tour of some 300, 400, 500-year-old windmills that are still functioning, that are still actually operating as commercial windmills, and we got to go tour those and go inside them and so forth, and that was very, very cool. And then we wrapped up that day's tour in Amsterdam, walked us around Amsterdam, got to see the interesting districts of Amsterdam, and then went
no partaking now.
It's legal there. So why not? You know, I come from the 60s. Anyway, and then we had a delicious dinner there in the evening. Nice. it was just absolutely wonderful. So we had this fantastic day of getting to tour. And Holland is a beautiful country, really beautiful. And all these gorgeous little canals all over the place and very green and lots and lots of brick, like lots of brick streets and beautiful brick buildings and just absolutely a gorgeous place. The con itself was small, cozy, and intimate, and they had people from, let's see if I can remember all of the countries. I hate to leave anybody out. Obviously, we had the United States represented, various parts of the United States. And then we had Dutch people that were there. And, of course, we had a guy who made a DVD, little short gem film, a guy from Chile, a film named Italo Yanti, and he made this film using the dolls, and he took audio from some of the episodes and mixed them together into a little bit of a news story. I think it ran about 40, 45 minutes, and then he used dolls and sets and fashions and things that were made, and they even recreated Stinger's dolls, and made this movie specifically for the gym. It was just Gem Con, just made it for the Gem Con. So he was terrific. So he was there from Chile, and his mother came along too, in fact. And so we played the film for everybody, and it was great fun. And then we had a gentleman from Italy, and we had people from Belgium and France and England, obviously, and Scotland. And just it was wonderful. Terrific people, lovely people to be around. There was one room for the panels and little seminar things that they did and showing the movie, and then one room for the doll collection, mainly Stefan's enormous doll collection that he got to exhibit finally, because it's not something he can drag to Gem Cons in the United States.
Yeah.
So he got to show off a lot of cool stuff that he's collected besides the dolls and, you know, other memorabilia and cells that he's collected and drawings that he's collected, production drawings and things like that.
Wow.
And other people bringing some of their dolls and fashions and so forth. So there's a huge doll collecting contingency, as well as people who are interested in just the animation part of it. So there's this mm-hmm. mix of this. And because it was small and intimate, I got to spend a lot of time close up. Oh, Canada. I forgot to mention Canada. I'm sorry, Alana. Forgive me. I forgot to mention Canada. and because Alana shows up and does an absolutely fabulous minx. She does the whole costume and the accent and everything, and she's really
interesting.
Oh, she's nice. A great mix. And I met some of these people at previous cons, of course. That's how I got to know Stefan and Rob were from previous cons, and I got to know Alana from previous cons, and two lovely ladies from Scotland have shown up at previous cons and so forth. So some of those same people were here. Nice. And I did a couple of days worth of panels talking about Gem and just answering questions and so forth and spending just getting to spend time with the people, really. It was just a tremendous amount of fun. And it was
so what was the turnout for like an Amsterdam con versus a U.S. con? I mean, I can imagine it'd be a lot smaller.
Oh, yeah. It like I said, it was much smaller, much more cozy, more intimate. We probably had about 30 people, roundabout people. So, you know,
that's I think that's the smallest convention I've ever heard of.
Yes, yes.
That's like a large family gathering.
That's what it felt like. And that was actually what was so wonderful about it.
That would be nice, actually.
Yes, because everybody just gets to sit around and chat up close. And we had lunches and dinners provided at the hotel, so we all just got to sit around and eat lunches and dinners with one another. And there was one lovely, lovely woman from the States with her mother, who was just one of the most darling people I've ever met. And they both dressed up in GEM costumes for the Saturday night party. And I'm sorry that I'm not better with names, but this woman did a GEM song. There was karaoke, of course, and this woman did GEM signing. She signed the GEM song because she does signing as part of
her
profession. So that was a lot of fun. That was very cool, too.
Who else was there as far as, like did, was Samantha there? Was Britta there? Were other GEM people there? Or was it
it was just me. They couldn't afford to bring anybody else over. I was the one person that they settled on to bring over. So I got to hog the limelight.
That would be nice. I mean,
yeah, that would be great if they did one. And I know they do one of these every year, right? Or every couple of years.
Yeah, the next one's in St. Louis, if I remember correctly.
Nice.
Road trip, Michael.
Yeah, that's not that far away. We were just talking about driving to St. Louis not too long ago.
There you go. You
should
go
days.
And cover it.
Yeah. That would be great. Honey, we're going to drive to St. Louis to the GEMCon.
Well, it's better than flying to California every year for BotCon.
Oh, well, that's the sad thing is I've skipped it in California both years.
I know.
Yeah. I'd go to one in St. Louis. Anyhow.
So, besides GEM, you're not just known for GEM, you're known for other things as well. When I first did the research on you for getting this technically third interview... you mentioned earlier that you're working at Zynga. How did that come about?
Well, let's see. It basically came about because of another game designer who was working at Zynga who knew me and knew that they were looking to add narrative designers to the design teams. A narrative designer being someone in the games business, a relatively new title for what's been done in the games business for a long time, but never had a specific title. But basically, a narrative designer is someone who designs how to bring story into the gameplay, how to mesh story and gameplay, how to handle integrating story, how to visually tell story or through text tell story or however, whatever means you find to put story into gameplay and do the writing and so forth. And Zynga had recently discovered that, hey, you know, adding a little bit of story to the games really improves the games.
Exactly.
And they began looking around and hiring narrative designers. And so this woman who worked there and who knew me said, hey, are you interested? You want to come on over? Because they're looking for people with your kind of qualifications. And what had happened to me is that I'd been moved up to the Bay Area in 2007 to work on an MMO project, big time MMOG with a famous game designer named John Romero, who was heading it up. Mm. And I ended up working on that for 2.5 years, and then the project was killed, which unfortunately is a really common sort of occurrence in the games business.
It seems to happen a lot to Romero.
This certainly, it's typical. It happens in the business. It really does. It's unfortunately, it's the nature of the video game business that it's a common thing. There I was living in the very expensive Bay Area and lost the job that I had. So I spent about a year working on independent projects. I worked on a virtual world project with a company in Switzerland, got a trip to Switzerland out of it, which was very nice. And then I was doing some story editing and writing on Lord of the Rings game for Snowblind Studios, which is part of Warner Brothers. So when she brought this up to me, I said, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. So I came in and well, actually, now it's a little bit more roundabout than that. One of the people who was hiring narrative designers is also a very well-known, I will even say perhaps a legend in the game design field, called Bob Bates. And I've known Bob for about 20 years in the games business. And so Bob was the one that brought me on board initially as a consultant. And I began working on the Facebook games as a consultant. And then finally I went full-time back in April. So that's what I have been doing. It's quite a demanding line of work. So I haven't been doing much else than that.
Yeah, those Zynga games are very, very popular and very, very addicting.
They certainly can be.
Well, there's, Michael knows. He plays Mafia Wars all the time.
I play a lot of Mafia War, yeah.
Wait till you see Mafia Wars 2.
You know, and that brings me to the next question here. I've seen at least three Zynga games pop up since the last times we talked. And I keep thinking, is this the one Christy's working on? Or is it something new that we haven't seen yet?
When I first started working there, I was working on the Mafia Wars 2 project. And then I switched over to another new project that I can't talk about.
Yeah, I believe it's just about to launch, if it hasn't launched
already. Yeah, it is. I think Monday, if I recall correctly.
Hmm. Yeah, it should be
soon.
Interesting.
Yeah, it should be very, very interesting. Now, do you yourself, I mean, I know, like, amongst your job, you have to, you know, be able to play and test these, but I mean, just in your own spare time, do you have any Zynga addictions or any Facebook game addictions yourself?
I play a number of the games, obviously. There's a fairly new one out called Adventure World, which I've been having a lot of fun playing. And Cityville is one that I liked a lot. So I obviously, as a part of my job, you're expected to play these games and to know them and be familiar with them. And then I'm still very much a World of Warcraft player. I still come home and you know, relax by playing World of Warcraft.
I wouldn't have guessed that, to be honest.
Oh yeah. No, my husband and I have been a team for about 5 years or more, actually, in World of Warcraft. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Like, yeah, that is one game I just can't get into. I don't know. I'm more so the type of person that I like the first person shooters or, you know, that kind of stuff. I don't really get into the role playing stuff.
Yeah, my wife and I used to play games together, and then we had kids, and that kind of ended that.
Yeah, it makes it a little tough, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little hard for her to find time. I still find time, but she likes to sleep. So,
funny that.
Yeah. It's like, I don't need to sleep. I'm good until about 2. Good night, honey. Yeah. Sorry I can't play games with you now.
So funny. That's just so funny. Do we have anything else we want to ask her, Michael? Because I think that was it. I mean, it's the point of the interview today was to, you know, get the gem stuff out because, as we said, the DVD is coming out this coming Tuesday. But anything else that we want to talk about?
In addition to playing Gem, of course, the Hub has also been running Conan the Adventurer, which was another series that I did with Sunbow and Jetlag Productions. So that's another 65 half hours that I worked on. So it's kind of funny they've got both the Gem series running and the Conan series running at the same time. So two of my shows being represented. And if they show some of the old G.I. Joes, that'll be represented. Conan was an interesting show to work on because it started out being a Sunbow Productions show for like the first 13 half hours. And then for whatever reason, it ended up going to a different production company and kind of a different setup. But what was interesting about that, I researched all of the original Robert E. Howard Conan stories. I went back to the source And right. everything I drew from, I drew only from his stories, his original material. But of course, I still had to come up with something that would work for animation. So that was an interesting challenge, because when they first said to me, we want you to do a Conan animation series, I'm saying, but he's a big barbarian with a sword that kills people. You can't do that in what are you going to do with that in animation? So that was a very interesting challenge to come up with. And he was no longer a loner. Of course, he had a bunch of friends and buddies that would hang out with him. But it was a lot of fun. Had a good time with that. Another thing that was unusual about my experience on that series is that I was the only story editor, and they wanted 3 scripts a week, which meant I didn't have time to do a lot of writing on that particular one. It also meant that I was having to turn around 3 premises, 3 outlines, and then do my editing passes on 3 scripts every week, every single week. For the production of that series for 65 half hours. Oh. So that was probably some of the toughest work I have ever had to do, just in terms of sheer hours and the amount of work that was involved.
That actually sounds like voice work in the 80s, where, you know, you go into a Wally Burr session and you end up being there for 15 hours rather than 4.
I've never seen the Conan show before. But I have read a few of the original stories, and that doesn't seem to me like something that would translate well into a children's show.
Like I said, it was a challenge. It was very tricky. But we managed to pull it off. And it's running, so you can watch it now.
Yeah, we just got the hub. It was strange because we haven't changed our cable package. But when the hub first came out, we didn't get it, and then we got it for about a month, and then we didn't get it. And now we've got it again, inexplicably. So, yesterday my kids were introduced to Strawberry Shortcake for the first time. They thought it was really cool. They're like, whoa, this is different. I've never seen this before. But, we're definitely going to have to watch Gem as soon as it comes on. We might even record Conan. I'd like to see that.
And then another thing that has resurfaced recently, I'm not sure exactly how or where it's showing up, whether it's on the hub or whether it's somewhere else. But I have suddenly been getting a lot of response to Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
I think it's on Netflix. I'm not sure if it's on the hub, but I think it is in the United States Netflix Instant Watch. Because that was the series that Dan Gilvezan voiced Spider-Man, the 1981 series, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was some of my earliest animation work, learning to write animation. One of the earliest series that I worked on. And lately I've just been getting a lot of response, a lot of email and response from people about that show. And I'm like, wait, where is this coming from? It's like, whoa. it's also getting has a very strong response from people. It's quite interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a great show.
Yeah. And see the funny thing you mentioned about that is that, was it last year or was it the year before? The game before the current one, it was Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions. Now, I remember watching Amazing Friends in reruns when I was like 6 or 7 years old in 86, 87. So I remember hearing Dan Gilvezan, Bumblebee, as Spider-Man.
Right.
When the trailer for Shattered Dimensions came out, the Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions video game, it's Gilvezan in the 2099 Spider-Man, the dark, really, really dark. So I loved how they went back and got all some of the original voice actors, but they put them in the different Spider-Man roles, because obviously in the 1981 series, Spidey's all kind of happy-go-lucky. It's not really dark humor. Where in the video game that they did, he is voicing a completely dark Spider-Man, and I just love the transition of hearing his voice between the two, between the animation and between the video game now, and it was just amazing.
Oh, that's very cool. I'm glad they did that.
Yes.
Yeah, I was especially hearing from people who were fond of the Firestar origin story and were asking me about that. So, because I was the person that got chosen to come up with the origin story for Firestar, so that was a lot of fun.
Oh, so that was actually an original character to that show.
Yes.
Yeah, and then didn't they move her into the comics after that?
Yeah.
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 Hey, she had her own comic there for a while.
Yeah.
So that was a cool thing. I got to work with Stan on that and bring that together.
What was that like, working with Stan?
Well, I had already known Stan through the comics book business, and he's a wonderful person. He's a warm, sweet, delightful person to work with. Very, very creative man, obviously.
Yeah.
Highly creative. I've worked with Stan on a number of different occasions in my career. Number of years back, my husband and I, who also write as a team, wrote a movie for Stan. It was going to be an animated feature. Unfortunately, never got made. But it's always great working with Stan. He's just intensely creative.
Yeah, he's every time I see him in anything, I just get a laugh because he is just so awesome. That's an interview I would love to do. I know a lot of people would love to interview Stan. But yeah,
you
that
and everybody
is an interview
else.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to wrap this up. I'd like to thank Christy Marks for joining us here on TuneCast Beyond for the very first TuneCast Beyond interview for this feed. Remind everybody again what you can talk about as far as upcoming projects. Is there anything that you would like to pimp out or anything that people should be on the lookout for in the future?
Well, people might want to go to Facebook and check out the Christy Marks Clubhouse, which is where I will be announcing things when there are things to announce. And I've done a number of interviews with other sources recently for the DVD release. So as I get information about those, I will be posting those to the Christy Marks Clubhouse as well.
Nice.
Awesome. So thank you very much. We'll ask you to hold the line, and we'll be back after this.
Me and my friends are Jam Girls. Jam, Jam is my name. Exciting adventure, fashion, and fame. Once you're a Jam Girl, you're never the same. Come on, come on, and be a Jam Girl. Jam, Jam is my name. Me and my friends are Jam Girls. Jam, Jam is my name. Truly outrageous, that's a Jam Girl. Glamour, fashion, and fame. Exciting adventure, fashion, and fame. Once you're a Jam Girl, you're never the same. Come on, come on, and be a Jam Girl. Jam, Jam is my name. Jam.
Wow. Yeah, it's always good to talk to Christy. She's just an amazing, amazing interview. She has such insights on stuff, and it was just great to talk to her again.
Yeah, that was great.
One thing that we didn't get into the interview was that she had mentioned off-air, and she told us we can say this, that Hasbro is going to have a very strong presence at the New York Comic Con this month. I think it's October 14th to the 16th are the dates. I think that's when it is. And supposedly they're going to be announcing something about Jem. So she doesn't know what exactly. She wasn't informed, but supposedly there's going to be an announcement about Jem.
Everybody's wondering, what could it be?
Yes.
Is it a movie? Is it a new TV show? Cartoon? Video games? Toys? We don't know.
Wow, I just can't see a Jem video game in the High Moon Studios fashion. That would be kind of weird.
Well, they're completely lacking red lasers and blue lasers.
Yes. So, you know, again, thank you very much to Christy for taking the time with us. Thank
Christy
you for taking
great.
Your time out of your Saturday to do this with me.
Oh, anything for Christy. Not so much for you, but, you know, to talk to Christy.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. I love you, man.
You're not getting any of my Transformers. Stop stealing that stuff from Target.
That's right.
Stop breaking into the back room. So, yes, this has been the TuneCast Beyond interview of Christy Marks. We're going to go before we start cracking each other up and it turns into a train wreck. So, TuneCast Beyond Episode 1, the Superhero Squad show, will be premiering November 11th, 2011. 11-11-11.
We did talk about Superhero Squad a little bit with Tom Kenny recently.
Yes, we did. So for TuneCast Beyond, you are
Michael Wilson,
and I am TFG1 Mike, and we will catch you next time.
Show's over, Synergy.